Imagine you're playing a high-stakes game of musical chairs.
Okay, stressful already.
Right. But in this version, the person running the game isn't just stopping the music, they're actively removing chairs while adding more players to the floor.
So the math guarantees a crisis.
Exactly. People are going to be left standing no matter how hard they hustle. Welcome to the deep dive. We're looking at a group of Swiss businesses that got tired of losing that exact game, so they decided to, build an entirely new one.
I love that analogy, actually, because it cuts right to the heart of what our sources call the usury conjecture.
The idea that conventional banks create money is interest-bearing debt.
Right. When you take out a loan, the bank creates the principal amount, but the money required to pay the compound interest, that literally does not exist in the money supply.
Which means everyone is trapped in this, brutal competition to capture enough of the scarce money out there just to pay off both the principal and the interest.
And because that interest money was never created, someone somewhere has to default. I mean, it's mathematically baked into the system. It concentrates wealth and creates artificial scarcity.
It really does. So today, we have this fascinating stack of sources exploring an alternative to that trap. We're diving into the story of the WIR Economic Circle Cooperative in Switzerland.
And we have some incredible documentation on this. We're drawing heavily from Thomas H. Greco Jr., specifically his critique of Professor Tobias Studer's book on WIR.
Yeah, that book's English translation by Philip H. Beard is super helpful. We've also got historical context from Eric S. Hansch, some really cool on-the-ground reporting by Susan Witt, and E.C. Riegel's monetary theories.
The mission for this deep dive is to trace how these Swiss businesses actually bypass the traditional banking system during the Great Depression.
And maybe more importantly, how that brilliant credit network was ultimately compromised when it morphed into a conventional bank.
To really get why this was so radical, we have to look at the environment that forced it into existence.
Right, the economic deep freeze. I mean, if normal banking is a rigged game of musical chairs, the 1930s global economy was like someone took away 60% of the chairs all at once.
Yeah, global production just plummeted. So set the scene. It's 1934 Switzerland. You've got this massive liquidity crisis.
Small and medium-sized enterprises, SMEs, are just starving for official Swiss francs.
And the crucial thing here is that the physical capacity to produce hasn't vanished, right? The baker still knows how to bake. The ovens work.
People still need to eat. The demand is there.
Exactly. What vanished was the medium of exchange. So into this void step two men, Werner Zimmermann and Paul Ens.
Inspired by a philosophy of solidarity and self-help.
Right. They gathered a group of just 16 original members and formed the Wirtschaftsring-Genossenschaft.
The Economic Circle Cooperative. The acronym WIR appropriately translates to we in German.
And what's fascinating here is that instead of waiting around for the government to put more francs, these 16 members created an independent cashless economic circulatory system.
But we should be clear, they didn't just invent a crude barter club.
No, not at all. Direct-to-barter is terribly inefficient. It was the actual monetization of their own goods and services. E.C. Riegel refers to this as split barter.
Okay, wait, I want to stress test this.
Okay.
If they aren't using paper money and they aren't, trading a chicken for a haircut, how does this actually work on a Tuesday afternoon?
Well, it happens through mutual credit clearing. It's an abstract ledger of mutual trust. Say you're a baker and you buy flour from a miller in the network.
Okay.
Your account on the ledger goes negative. You incur a debit. And simultaneously, the miller's account goes positive.
And no interest is charged on the clearing itself.
Right. You've split the barter, you got your flour, and the miller now holds a positive WIR balance they can spend with someone else in the network, like a mechanic.
Okay, I got to push back a bit. If my account just goes negative when I buy something, what stops me from going infinitely negative and then just walking away from the network?
Strict underwriting. You couldn't just join and spend a million WIR. Your debit limit was tied directly to your proven capacity to produce goods that other members actually wanted.
Oh, so the central office is acting as a risk manager.
Exactly. Legally, positive balances are demands made on the collective of debtors, not the central office itself.
That's wild. It's essentially a closed-loop gift card ecosystem. But instead of buying the gift card with cash, you authorize it yourself by promising to sell your own real-world services to the network later.
That's a great way to put it. And E.C. Riegel has this specific insight in our sources. He says two factors are necessary to money creation: a buyer who issues it and a seller who accepts it.
Money springs from mutual interest, not authority. The members are creating the liquidity at the exact moment of the transaction.
Yes. And to see how this works in the real world, Susan Witt's 2008 report is perfect.
Oh, the hotel in Rheinfelden.
Right. A hotel needed to expand, and WIR provided low and no interest financing.
But the catch was that the WIR portion of the loan legally had to be spent within the network.
Think about the ripple effect of that. They hired local Swiss contractors, plumbers, electricians, architects, and paid them, partially, in WIR.
Keeping the wealth strictly within the local community. But wait, what if that plumber needed official Swiss francs to import parts? They can't pay German suppliers in WIR.
And that's the brilliance of the WIR directory. It proved a community can generate its own liquidity because merchants could set the percentage of WIR they were willing to accept.
So a merchant could say, I'll take 50% WIR and 50% official Swiss francs.
Exactly. Thousands of items, from excavators to chimney sweeps, were listed with their specific WIR acceptance rates.
So it naturally regulates the system and is so elegant. But if this system was perfectly calibrated to facilitate trade without conventional banks, why did WIR eventually seek out bank status?
Yeah, this is the tragic part of the story. By 1997, WIR had introduced interest-bearing cash accounts and transitioned to true bank status.
And this is where Thomas Greco's critique comes in, right? Because Professor Tobias Studer wrote a whole book analyzing WIR.
Right. And Studer actually praises WIR's ability to, quote, create money through loans. He claims the central office could autonomously control the money supply.
But Greco completely dismantles this.
He really does. Greco points out WIR's fatal flaw. They began granting loans based on long-term debts.
Like 20-year mortgages.
Yes. The numbers in the sources are crazy. WIR had 792 million francs in long-term loans versus only 93 million in short-term accounts.
Wait, so by acting like a regular bank and issuing credit against a 20-year mortgage instead of just short-term goods, didn't they just reinvent the exact inflation and devaluation problem they originally banded together to escape?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, absolutely. They converted long-term debt into immediately due money claims.
Which violates the core principle of sound money.
Exactly. New money entering circulation has to be matched by goods and services already in the market. A house isn't immediately tradable at the grocery store.
So you pumped massive amounts of liquidity into the system without the goods to back it up.
And the consequence was severe. Because credits were issued in excess of available goods, WIR credits began selling at a steep discount on the black market.
Right, up to 30% off face value, according to the sources. People were desperate to convert their excess WIR into liquid fiat.
The original brilliant clearing model was completely undermined by prioritizing long-term interest-bearing loans.
Which is just wild. But, you know, WIR's evolution from a radical mutual credit circle to a compromised bank isn't just Swiss trivia. It reveals a vital truth about our own economic power today.
It really ties into what Greco calls the strategic implementation plan, his broader mission of reclaiming the credit commons.
Because money is simply an information and accounting system, right? The centralized control of credit is just a mechanism of wealth extraction.
Yes. A true exchange system must separate the exchange function, so short-term credit based on real goods, from the savings function, which is long-term financing.
So what does this all mean for you? Right now, using fiat bank credit is like paying a massive toll every single day to drive on a road that you and your neighbors built yourselves.
I love that.
The power to create money is actually in your production, not in a bank vault.
And WIR proved the concept works at scale. The future of a resilient we economy relies on decentralization. Trusted producers issuing credit directly to one another without paying a toll to a banking monopoly.
It's an incredible blueprint. So to wrap this up, WIR started as this ingenious lifeline during the Great Depression. They proved that businesses can create their own liquidity through mutual credit clearing.
Yet its success was ultimately diluted when it adopted the flawed, debt-based practices of the conventional banking system it was meant to replace.
Exactly. So I want to leave you with a final, slightly provocative thought to mull over. If money is ultimately just a measure of trust and an accounting of exchange, what would happen if a global network of local businesses simply decided tomorrow that they no longer needed official fiat currency to trade with each other?
Especially with today's technology.
Right. Could a digital, decentralized we economy eventually make traditional banking entirely obsolete?
It's a huge question.
It really makes you rethink the whole system. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Question the everyday systems around you, and we'll catch you next time.